Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Jamie Bologna. The latest data from the state on COVID show a slight downtick in positive tests. The seven-day average is at a little more than 2.7%, and while that's down from last week, it's still more than double the rate reported about a month ago. And Governor Charlie Baker says those numbers mean the Commonwealth should stay the course.
You have to get the overwhelming proportion of people vaccinated, but you also have to do mitigation. And that gets to the controversial issue of mask wearing, particularly in the situation in schools. We've just got to realize that we're dealing with a public health crisis. And the more you get infections, the more spread you get, the greater opportunity the virus has to continue to evolve and mutate.
That's Dr. Anthony Fauci there from CBS's Face the Nation on Sunday. But to summarize what the governor was saying, he's not considering changing masking guidance at this time. He's looking at the data. And, you know, having Anthony Fauci there explain masking, the federal government is expected to announce guidance on a third shot, a booster for most Americans, probably tomorrow. We're seeing latest reporting that they would get that booster shot about 8 months after their most recent dose. Oh, yeah. And the start of school is just around the corner. So there's a lot to talk about. Tuesday means Ask the Doctors. So what do you need to know about Delta, boosters, masking, schools? Call us. Ask your questions. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can send us a tweet. We're at Radio Boston. And with us this week, Dr. Helen Boucher, infectious disease physician at Tufts Medical Center and interim dean of the Tufts University School of Medicine. Dr. Boucher, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us. And also with us is Dr. Philip Landrigan. He's a pediatrician, public health physician, epidemiologist, and director of the Program for Public Health and the Common Good at Boston College. Dr. Landrigan, welcome back to you as well.
Jamie, good to be here with you.
So I'm going to get to the news on boosters in just a second here, but I do want to ask you both, maybe we can actually hear the cut here from Governor Baker from just yesterday on not changing the masking guidance.
I'm not considering changing the mask guidance at this time. We pay a lot of attention to the data associated with case counts and with hospitalizations, and you can't look at the Commonwealth of Massachusetts and look at our vaccination rate, our hospitalization rate, and compare it to where the rest of the country is. Vaccinations are the pathway out of this pandemic.
So do you agree with him, Dr. Boucher, that the data supports staying the course, no new statewide masking rules?
You know, I think it's reasonable. And, you know, just to complete, the governor's message has been that when one is going to be around people whose vaccination status we don't know or around the vulnerable, that includes older and immunocompromised individuals, we should consider wearing masks. And I agree fully with that recommendation.
And Dr. Landrigan, what shift in the numbers would make you recommend more masking or perhaps a statewide masking mandate?
Well, first of all, Jamie, I totally agree with the governor's statement that vaccines are the way out of this pandemic. That's so critical, and it's a message that we have to emphasize and reemphasize. But the issue of masking is so complex, it's so nuanced. And I think that, you, as you said in your introduction here, the opening of school is just around the corner. And I think we really have to think very carefully about masking in the context of school opening. So I'm a pediatrician, and therefore I pay a lot of attention to the guidance that comes out from the American Academy of Pediatrics, which is the major pediatric association in the United States, and the AAP has made two recommendations in regard to school opening this fall. First of all, they have said that it's really, really important for children to get back in person to school.
Right.
For their education and also for all the social benefits, all the interaction that comes out of school. And in the next breath, the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends universal masking for everybody who goes back to school, students, teachers, and staff, everybody who's in the school building. And the reason is very simple. Children under the age of 11 or 12 are not vaccinated, and they won't be yet for at least a few months. That means that the virus has potential to be actively spreading around in the school. And this is a time, even in Massachusetts, even though our numbers are way better than Texas or Florida, the case counts are going in the wrong direction here, which means the virus is spreading in the Commonwealth.
Right.
And I would say, in an abundance of caution, the proper tack to take here is that in the school setting, everybody should wear a mask. I know the governor and the health department have not quite come to this position yet, but I'm hoping that they're reading the guidance from the American Academy of Pediatrics and we'll pay attention to it.
And we're going to get to calls in just a second here at 1-800-423-8255. But Dr. Boucher, I want to turn to you then on the masking front and ask, is there a hierarchy of quality of masks? And what I mean by that is, you know, we've all been masking for a long time here. We've got the cloth masks, we've got the disposable masks. Is there something we should be keeping in mind, the N95 masks, with the Delta variant now and schools opening? What type of masks should we be wearing?
Yeah, very good question. You know, the most important mask is the one that's worn correctly, that is above the nose and below the chin, and that is tightly fitting. There is a hierarchy of masks, and we know that a surgical mask is more effective than a cloth mask. And an N95 is, of course, the most effective, but it's incredibly uncomfortable to wear. So for most people, the recommendation is to wear a good quality either cloth mask or a surgical grade mask as protective equipment.
Okay, and let's turn to boosters here. We actually have a call from Meg in Shrewsbury who has a question about boosters. Meg, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What's your question for the doctors?
So my question is this. It's twofold. I'm 6 months pregnant. I'm double vaccinated. I've started masking again. And my question is this.
Actually, Meg, can you turn your radio off? Oh, thank you. Go ahead, Meg.
My radio is... Is that better?
Yep, that's better. Go ahead, Meg. Okay. Continue.
All right, great. So my question is this. As a pregnant person who is double vaccinated, do the doctors think that a booster shot would be appropriate? And going forward, do they see that pregnant women being prioritized in that?
All right, great. Thanks for the call, Meg. Great question. We're going to turn to you, Dr. Landrigan. As I mentioned, there's been reporting, New York Times, elsewhere, now hearing that the new guidance on boosters may come as early as tomorrow. So what's your answer to Meg's question?
Yeah, so I think that if the guidance does call for booster at 6 months or 8 months after the previous vaccination, then everybody who's been vaccinated should follow the guidance and get the booster. We know that immunity wanes over time, and that's the reason for the booster, especially as we're coming into the season of the year with coughs and colds. And certainly pregnant women should be very high on the priority list.
And Dr. Boucher, you know, lots of talk of the two-dose shots, but I'm also thinking about the folks who have gotten the J&J single dose. What are you hearing on boosters and J&J?
Well, you know, just to reconfirm for the listeners, so far we still have no guidance on boosters. We expect it to come. We heard last week from the CDC advisory committee that there still isn't enough data regarding the J&J vaccine to advise for a third dose in our immunocompromised patients. We expect advice soon, and some physicians are recommending an extra dose, a second dose in those people, but we expect advice from the FDA and CDC soon. Likewise, for boosters, we understand that there is less data available so far on the J&J, but there are data that were recently published showing a very good efficacy preventing serious illness and death from the single-dose J&J. So as of today, people vaccinated with the J&J are still considered fully protected.
1-800-423-8255 is the phone number if you'd like to ask a question of Drs. Helen Boucher and Dr. Philip Landrigan. Okay, so Dr. Landrigan, if I could just ask you a question here before turning back to the phones about and thank you, Dr. Boucher, by the way, for the clarification that, yes, the boosters for the vast majority of folks has not been recommended yet. In terms of efficacy, what do we expect the boosters to buy us? Another 8 months or longer? If we've learned anything about this pandemic, it's not like it'll be gone in 8 months. So what will happen then after another 8 months after the booster?
Well, we already know that what the vaccines really do, the most important thing the vaccines do, is they protect against serious illness and they protect against death. They provide something like 99% protection against death. They don't protect us against mild illness, these so-called breakthrough illnesses are proof of that. So I think what the booster will do, if it is approved, and it's not approved yet, of course, but if it's approved, what the booster will do is it'll further strengthen the protection against serious illness and death. And my guess is it probably will give us some partial protection, but not complete protection against breakthrough illnesses.
All right, let's turn to the phones here. 1-800-423-8255. Maureen is calling from Merrimack, New Hampshire. Maureen, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. My question is, we are set to return back to school full time with no remote option. Everyone will be in without any spacing changes, and there's no mask mandate in our town. As a parent, what can I do to help protect my daughter who is not yet able to be vaccinated?
Great. Thanks for the call, Maureen. Let's throw that one to you, Dr. Boucher.
Yeah, so it's a really good question. And I think that one of the most important things is that your daughter is surrounded by vaccinated individuals. So I very much hope that her teachers and the faculty and staff at the school will all be vaccinated. And she can certainly wear a mask. I think, as Dr. Landrigan pointed out, the American Academy of Pediatrics and many other societies are recommending masks for children because of what's happening with the Delta variant. So it may be, and I hope, that many will wear masks. And that is a protective measure your daughter can take. She can also practice good hand hygiene, especially before and after she eats, and spend as much time as possible outdoors for as long as possible. All those things can help minimize the risk.
Dr. Landrigan, any other advice you'd offer to Maureen?
No, I would completely agree with everything that Dr. Boucher said. And the only item I would add to that is the possibility that you, Maureen, and other parents in Merrimack could push on the local school board and urge them to come up with a mask mandate. If enough parents bind together and pressure the school board, you might affect action.
1-800-423-8255. That's the phone number. Let's go to Lissa in Wayland. Lissa, excuse me. You're next on Radio Boston.
Hi. So my question is that my children are old enough to understand about COVID and this new variant. We just had a friend that passed away actually last night, and they both have very bad asthma, so they were remote learners, and they're very concerned about returning to school. Because as much as I've isolated them, their friends have been living, you know, different lives. They've been much more interactive and social with others, and I've been much more diligent with them. So they actually have fear of returning, and I don't know what to tell them, and I don't know when to ever expect any vaccine to be available to protect them.
Well, first, Lissa, I just want to say, again, sorry for your loss, and make sure to take care of yourself and those around you, okay?
Yes.
And let's turn your question over to Dr. Landrigan.
Well, this is a really tough one. This is a tough one. But my advice is that it's better to get the kids back to school. Children need education. Children need to interact with other kids. Children can't live in a bubble. And I know the world is not risk-free, and I understand completely how worried you must be because of the kids' asthma. But I still think when you balance all the different pieces here, it's better that they should go back to school, and clearly that they should wear masks. And you might, as I said to the woman from Merrimack, New Hampshire, you might want to push on the school board in Wayland to require masks. That's not an unreasonable request, especially since the American Academy of Pediatrics and other medical bodies have made that recommendation. They're ahead of the governor on this. And finally, when the vaccine is approved, hopefully later this fall for children, get your kids at the head of the line to receive that vaccine.
And Dr. Boucher, just jumping off of Lissa's call there, what's the latest? What do we know now today, Tuesday, on the impact of Delta on children?
Well, you know, unfortunately, we have seen rising rates of infection and hospitalization in children with this latest wave of COVID in our country, which we know is driven by the Delta variant. And if we look at states like Texas, Alabama, Mississippi, Missouri, we've seen really unfortunate numbers of children in the hospital. Thankfully, it's not the case in New England, where we have higher rates of vaccination. But as Dr. Landrigan mentioned, we are very concerned about this. effect on children, and that's largely what has led to the American Academy of Pediatrics and others, groups like the Infectious Disease Society of America, in advocating for masking and other measures to protect children who can't yet be protected by vaccination.
Got it. Thank you both for those answers. And Lissa, again, we're thinking of you. 1-800-423-8255 is the phone number. I'd like to go to Robert here in Worcester. Robert, you're next on Radio Boston, going back to boosters.
Thank you for fielding my question. I'm curious if there's any evidence to suggest that the booster should be the same versus a different maker than the original.
Yeah, you mean original shot that you already got?
Exactly.
Right. Okay, thank you, Robert, for the call. And again, I just want to reiterate that boosters have not been approved here for full use for everyone, but only for those who are immunocompromised. We are expecting that announcement to come from the federal government this week, but we do not have that yet. Dr. Landrigan, do you want to take this one?
I don't know that there's enough data to make a definitive statement on that. My instinct is to say that it makes more sense if you get a booster, when and if the booster is approved, to get the same vaccine that you got before. But that's just my opinion. It's not an evidence-based statement.
All right, and Dr. Boucher, you know, we've been saying over and over on our Ask the Doctor segments, don't vaccine shop, get whichever vaccine is available, and then stick with that one. And I'm just wondering what you're seeing in the data, in the research, in terms of the differences between the vaccines and their efficacy.
Well, you know, I think the overwhelming message in terms of the efficacy is that all three vaccines are incredibly effective at preventing severe illness and death, which is what they were designed to do. We have seen some differences in reports of preventing mild infection, and interpreting those data gets very complicated because different populations studied at different times, but it may be, you know, that one is less effective than the other at preventing mild illness. But the take home is that all three are above 90% effective in preventing serious illness and death, and that's really the main thing for us to think about with vaccination.
1-800-423-8255. Let's go to Angela in Cambridge. Angela, you're next on Ask the Doctors on Radio Boston.
Yes. I live in a building for elderly and disabled people. There's a workman here who's recovered from COVID but has never been vaccinated. Is it safe for him to be in this building?
And Angela, have you been vaccinated? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, great. Thanks for the call, Angela. Dr. Boucher.
So, Angela, we know that there is immunity after natural infection. So this gentleman is going to be protected at least for a few months. I hope he will get vaccinated because that will provide him better protection that will last longer. And the good news is that you're vaccinated. You may want to wear a mask if he's coming into your apartment, but I think all in all, he is safe to be among you at this time.
Let's go to Christy in Hopkinton. Christy, you're next on Radio Boston.
Hey, thank you. I'm calling to ask you what, when people are vaccinated and there are breakthrough cases, and I know there's a very low chance of death, but do you have any insight into if those deaths are related to people that have pre-existing conditions?
Got it. Thank you, Christy. Dr. Landrigan.
I don't know for sure. I mean, I would think that somebody who had a pre-existing condition would be at greater risk of death if they had a breakthrough infection. And I say that because we know that when back in the spring, when the epidemic was raging, that most of the deaths occurred among people with pre-existing conditions. But I don't have hard data on that one. Maybe Dr. Boucher would have.
Yeah,
that.
Dr. Boucher, do you have anything else to add there for?
Yeah, well, you know, we have really quite good data now that the deaths that have been seen in the era of vaccination are largely in unvaccinated individuals, and then the few among vaccinated individuals are in those immunocompromised people that we talked about earlier for whom third dose has now been recommended. So people who've had cancer chemotherapy and organ transplant, you know, severe immunosuppression. So again, the good news is that in the non-immunosuppressed, we have seen very, very few deaths from breakthrough infections.
Got it. Thank you, Dr. Boucher. And, you know, I want to ask a question. I know we heard Dr. Anthony Fauci way back at the beginning of this segment, you know, sort of imploring people to get vaccinated, and because, you know, the more spread that we have, the greater opportunity the virus has to evolve and mutate. And so I wanted to ask you both, what are we seeing on the mutation front beyond Delta? Dr. Landrigan.
Well, so far, we know we have excellent data that the vaccines protect against Delta. Delta is highly contagious, but the vaccines protect against it. The researchers are being very vigilant, looking for the emergence of any new strains, and that's an area of worry and concern. But right now, I want to emphasize and reemphasize what Dr. Boucher and I have both said, that the vaccines give enormous protection, 99% protection against death, and 95% protection against serious hospitalization from COVID. And the epidemic that's raging now in Florida and Texas and some of the other southern states is basically, as Dr. Walensky of CDC has said, it's an epidemic among the unvaccinated. People got to get vaccinated. If people aren't vaccinated, please get vaccinated. That's the important thing.
So we just have just about a minute here. And so, Dr. Boucher, I was wondering, finally, if I could ask you, what are you looking for on the road ahead as schools reopen, as folks return to offices here in the fall, or at least are planning to? What are you looking for?
Well, we're going to continue to keep our eyes on the data, especially the data about hospitalization and death. And we're going to continue to work to communicate with everyone about the importance of keeping up with all these protective measures, right? Getting vaccinated if you haven't gotten vaccinated yet, considering masking in the appropriate setting, lots of hand hygiene, not going to work or school when you're sick. We haven't talked about that today, but that is vitally important. Right. And getting tested if and when you develop symptoms. Those are the things that all of us can do to really increase the chances of a successful school year and a successful transition of back to in-person work.
Well, great. That's Dr. Helen Boucher. She's an infectious disease physician at Tufts Medical Center, and the interim dean of the Tufts University School of Medicine. Dr. Boucher, always great to have you. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Dr. Philip Landrigan, a pediatrician, public health physician, epidemiologist, and director of the Program for Global Public Health and the Common Good at Boston College. Thank you as well, Dr. Landrigan.
Thank you, Jamie. Good to be here.
And listeners, just adding a quick reminder here, as with all medical advice, please consult your own doctor and take whichever course of action is best for you and your situation. That's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR. I'm Jamie Bologna. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.